E2. Number 9B.
So, we would have somehow tried to define in John Dolly's matrix the I and the J, but we still would not have defined what is the A, what is the matrix all about. And actually, this is even more difficult because we have said that our I and J is a present approximation of what we feel. We said this is not our final answer, and therefore build on a tentative result, we naturally cannot find a definite answer. That's quite clear. So again, the A must be still more a question mark in our mind, and I would like to leave it that way, because I don't want to say something which is not absolutely clear. We were thinking about this and were considering the general tenor of the I and the J, especially by thinking about the I, we were seeing, well, it all has to do with the synonymous term and from the synonymous term, and actually practically every epitome which we found in the I had to do with God. It's the self-declaration of God. It's the self-declaration of God. In the Christ, we had the Christ idea, which is really the idea of God. And in Christianity, we had God's infinite self-reflection. Self-reflection. So again, it is looking at reflection from the point of view of God, not from the point of view of reflection itself. And in science, again, we had God's self-interpretation of itself as science. And so we felt it has actually everything to do with the Godhead, which is the Word. And so tentatively we felt, isn't this a terrific presentation of the Word of God? Stating the Word of God through the synonymous terms. And you take it with a big question mark in brackets, and then you know that you can think about it further and still further. And I've been thinking about it for 20 years, and I'm not a bit discouraged and disillusioned that I don't see yet the answer so clear that I can stand for it and say, this is it. So if Mrs. Eddy took from 1866 to 1907 time just to state the word order rightly, we jolly well can also have a bit patient with ourselves and just wait, because that waiting time is a very productive time. It isn't an unproductive time. It's the most productive time. Once you have the answer, then it's no more so productive, because you don't produce it anymore. You have it. So the intervening time of weighing these things is a terrific productive time, because you learn to polish your categories, to purify your categories, get a clearer and clearer sense about it. Okay, so we leave this matrix as it is now. We resume the line of reasoning where John Dolly was doing this matrix around about 1943-45, and see what happened further in the line of matrix, not his whole teaching or so. We just have that one big subject of matrix, and I just want to see how little by little things began to fit in into order. For instance, I come to an absolutely new subject, and these, for instance, John Dolly taught us during the war a lot about the word order, about the seven, and how the word order would be seen when translated to the biblical language into the symbolization of the 7 days of creation. I don't have to go into that. That's a subject you know inside out, that the 7 days of creation, looked at from the creative sense, is presenting the word order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in a law of creativity, starting with the first glimpse of the first idea in mind, developing that idea through spirit, unfoldment of spirit, bringing it to the point of identity in soul, then showing that this identity has to put back into its principle and let it be governed by the principle of the fourth day, the stars and sun and the moon and the earth, giving a wonderful symbol of government, that the ideas are governed by a principle, that only then when they are governed by a principle that they bring forth abundantly, the fifth day, let the waters bring forth abundantly. And as they bring forth abundantly, it is shown that this gives us great dominion, the sixth day of man, who has dominion, the consciousness of that abundance giving us dominion, and finally finding that through that dominion we get the sense of peace and rest in the seventh day, a sense of fulfillment. So it is showing there a sevenfold, step-by-step unfoldment. At the same time, he was trying to show us that that sevenfold order is so fundamental that it precipitates itself on human consciousness in various ways and symbolizations. And so he taught also that the first seven statements of the commandments, as you know, are written in that word order. Again, explaining those seven statements. Later on, he would show us that the seven Beatitudes would show also that word order, and we were very happy to see that every time we could see somewhere in the Bible or anywhere else in our experience the law of creativity in the sevenfold order, we were all happy and felt very blessed by it. And then finally he showed the seven statements of the Lord's Prayer as also following that word order. Okay, so here we had various presentation of the word order. And instead of being happy about it, that everything fits into the seven and into the word order, you can also be unhappy about it. And to be unhappy about it is much more productive than to be happy about it. Why? I always was thinking something is not quite correct about the whole thing. We haven't seen the truth about those four orders at that time, going back to that time. Because I felt if the word order in a creative sense is something definite, then it should have more or less the same tonality in it, give the same melody in it. But I couldn't see any parallel between the 7 days of creation and, say, the seventh statement of the commandments, nor between the commandments and the seven Beatitudes in tonality. I only could see, yes, they went through the word order, but I couldn't see any resemblance of tonality, and no resemblance of the tonality between the seven Beatitudes and the seven statements of the Lord's Prayer. So instead of thinking they fit wonderfully, I was always thinking, what doesn't fit? I never doubted or never had any difficulty in seeing that they went through the word order. And so one had to find an answer why the tonality is different. And then one could see very easily, you see, that actually they have to be put into a bigger frame of reference than just the seven. That showing them in the seven is a too small of reference, a system of reference. That they had to be put into a combining system of reference which would give to each one its true place value. And therefore, we presented in the compendium those four Bible teaching, as we call them, so to say, in a very simple matrix. I have to make a correction what I said. We didn't present it graphically in the compendium as a matrix, but ideally by speaking about it. And at that time, as I said, you must be patient with us. At that time, we didn't know very much, you know. You can't judge now in the year 1974 the efforts we made in 1947. This would not be fair. You have to think back of what we knew at that time and the enormous mental, spiritual, intellectual struggle that went into it in order only to find a little bit more. Once you know the thing, it's easy. You just can teach it and you have it in 5 minutes. But to stay with the subject and see something is not quite clear and you don't know what is not quite clear is quite a different proposition. Having to find out the answer. And naturally you can see where the answer lies. The moment you know something about a matrix and about the system of reference, which we didn't know at that time, you can see very easily that those four Bible teaching could just put into one of the simplest matrices you can think of, namely just into a one column matrix. We have said, when we were talking about matrix in general, that we can have a square matrix, we can have a rectangular matrix, and that in a rectangular matrix you can have how many columns? 1 to n. So a one column matrix is already a matrix. And the moment I began to see that, though I didn't know how to put it into a graphical illustration, you could see that actually what they are, if you take those four big Bible teachings, you can say they are all about the Word, because they go through the Word order, through the Word order. So there is only one column. They all tell us a story about the Word order. See, but we could see that each one of those four Bible teachings were teaching from a different standpoint the word order. And so today we could just make four lines, horizontal lines, and what we would find in it is what we could start with the days of creation and say the first is the Word, and the place value would be the 7 days of creation. So you can write it in here, 7 days of creation. What does it mean? It means actually creative thinking. All right. What is the commandments that came afterwards? Also in the seven. But is that a creative thinking process? No. See, it's all about thou shalt and thou shalt not. And so you hear at once that it has a Christ tone in it, the Christ command in it, the Christ impulsion in it. And so the word order there is shown from the attitude of the Christ to us. And so those seven statements, those positive statements of the commandments, really give us not a sevenfold creative line of thinking. They give us something very different. They actually give us the demands, a sevenfold demand made on the thinker. So we could call it the demands made, can you say made on the thinker, is that, yeah, made on the thinker, yeah, something very different, which would say in order to fulfill the 7 days of creation, you also have to take in the demands that are made on the thinker so that he can follow up the line of reasoning in the days of creation. We come to the Beatitudes, to Christianity, where we had the seven statements of the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes are again something very different. It's so different than the seven commandments, because it always says that if the seeker has a certain inward attitude, blessed are ye when, that when he has that attitude, that he will get the reward, and ye shall be, and ye shall receive. The Beatitudes are always, if you have this attitude towards God, or this inward divine attitude, you receive from God something. And you get the sense of Christianity, the inner attitude of blessedness. So we can see it is the seeker's reward for a spiritual attitude. Yes? Can you see that this is a different tonality in it? And finally, you can take science, and you have the seven statements of the Lord's Prayer. You know that there are eight, and the eighth sums up the seven and brings it to a higher scale. And most scholars mean that the eighth statement has been added after the canonization of the Bible. So you have those seven statements and the interpretation. What Mrs. Eddy gives through that interpretation are really a statement, really, of the fundamental facts of being. Let's say it's fundamental facts, fundamental facts of being. Therefore, because it is stating the factuality of being, it has a tone of the beingness of science. Now, you see what we have been doing. All what we had were first just those seven orders without having any interrelation between them. So they were seven and just seven. And no relation, therefore, what we had to find is that there must be a structure or a system of reference which is bigger than just the sevenfold order, in order to put it into a whole where it is, where there are no more seven isolated teachings. And we could do that by putting them into the bigger framework of the Word, as the Word, Word as the Christ, Word as Christianity, Word as science. And they all give one common denominator, namely they all give our approach to being, our approach to the Word of God. So the A there would really be, you see, the approach to the Word, and would state those approach to the Word through the I is the Word, and the J are the four ways how to approach it. You can see that a matrix always gives us a lot of information. Why? We have seen that right from the beginning on the first hour, that a matrix, when the matrix has its right data put into it, that the matrix begins to teach us. Now, does it make a difference if we just have those four Bible teachings just isolated? Or does it make is it different when it is put into this one column matrix? Yes, the difference is terrific, because it shows that you cannot separate those four. See? The moment you put it into a matrix, they are integral part of one thing. You can't separate them. And if that would be the only result, only of it, it would be already terrific. Because, why? Because you know then that, say, if you would just concentrate on the Beatitudes and just feel this is the New Testament teaching, and I don't need any more the Old Testament. The Old Testament is past. I take Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and I take the seven Beatitudes, and so my whole attitude is really the seven Beatitudes attitude. You wouldn't get anywhere, because you had no foundation. What's the use of seeing those Beatitudes and not fulfill, say, what has gone before, the commandments? And the commandments first say, you have to get rid of the mortal concept. Thou shalt not, but thou shalt. Therefore, you have first to fulfill the Christ commandments within you before you can have a beatified attitude. And in order to fulfill those commandments, you must first understand what is the reality of being, the days of creation. Or you are not able to fulfill the demands because you say, I must know what is right and what is wrong. And that you learn in the days of creation. Do you see that? Yeah. We have to stop here.